Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
David wrote many of his psalms to record how God had rescued him from his enemies and his troubles. In light of God's faithfulness towards him, David purposed to praise his God continually. How much more should you and I praise the Lord, because he has delivered us not only from temporary trials, but from the power of eternal darkness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please open your Bible to Psalm 34 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins our study.
Let's turn in our Bibles this evening to Psalm 34. It is a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. It has been said, and rightfully so, that the Psalms are not just songbook, is not just a songbook. The Psalms are a collection of scripture that teach us things about God and things about man. And it's not only a book that enables us to explore the heights of theology, but it also reveals to us the wide range of human emotions, what we think, how we process things, and even filled with expressions of how differently we may praise and worship God. And of course, we know that the Psalms were part of, not all of, but part of the nation of Israel's overheads. These are the songs that they sang. And many of them were put together with music and filled with emotions descriptive of the circumstances that individuals were going through, but drawing them to a place where you and I could relate tonight. You read through the Psalms and you find emotions like loneliness, awe, joy, sorrow, shouting, silence, grief, gladness, discouragement, delight, hurt, hope, crying, laughing. How dare God talk about me in front of you all? And yet, when you look at these Psalms, how many times have you read a Psalm? And you go, wow, Lord, that's what I'm going through. And what we read as we work our way through these Psalms is, I think the best way to call it is, gospel-shaped emotions. We are created with emotions. And God isn't anti-emotion. He doesn't want us to be overwhelmed by emotion or led by emotion. But we see here, again, David, the man after God's own heart. And the introduction comes from 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 10 through 15. David is running away from Saul, who is hunting him like a ferocious lion. And David, a man after God's own heart, made a knee-jerk, hasty decision. Something that you and I have never done as believers. And he runs to Gath. Remember Gath? Who was the champion? Goliath. He runs to Gath. And while he's there, he overhears these men talking about David. And we will see that he's moved with fear because he's exposed. He realizes that what he did was perhaps prayerless, definitely foolish, maybe stupid, and he begins to act crazy. How am I going to get out of this? And so he just begins, acting like a crazy man. And the king says, get him out of here. I don't need another crazy man in my kingdom. Get him out of here. And as a result of that, David writes this psalm. It's incredible. Again, Gath, it was probably the worst place that David could have gone. That was the home of Goliath. Goliath, the one that he slew. And when David hears, as I said a moment ago, the conversation of a couple of Achish's servants, because Imelech and Achish are the same being, he knew that he had made an unwise, knee-jerk decision. One that placed his life in the most imminent of danger. You ever done that? Made an unwise, knee-jerk, emotion-led decision? Anybody? Anybody of you have the spirit of lying? And so here's David. Now, he's writing after the episode, right? And he says, on the other side of his deliverance, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. At this point in time, remember, David is living from cave to cave. He's being hunted down by Saul, the king of Israel. And here he is exposed. His foolishness is exposed. And God somehow, in his absolute omnipotence and sovereignty, allows David to be delivered in a most peculiar way, by acting crazy. And here he is praising God. He's praising God for his deliverance. How much more tonight should you and I praise the Lord in light of the fact that we have been delivered from the power of darkness, from the power of the wrath to come, by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, after Jesus accomplished the work of atonement, after he died on the cross for our sins, according to the scriptures, was buried, and when he rose again, that was God's amen of Christ's "it is finished." He gives a final discourse to the disciples, and Luke tells us in chapter 24, verse 53, and they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. My praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, if that would only be so. Charles Spurgeon once wrote, he who praises God for blessings will always have blessings for which to praise God. Praising God, praising him for who he is, Paul would say to the Thessalonian believers, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice and pray without ceasing. And here, David is praising God for his deliverance, for his mighty intervention. And then he says in verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. My soul, the very depth of his being, David, he says, I'm going to boast. That word boast there, that particular word boast in the Hebrew language means to express joyful confidence. My soul shall boast in the Lord. And other people are going to hear it and be glad. Psalm 44 verse 8 says, in God we boast all the day long. And we praise his name forever. We boast in the Lord tonight, don't we? Do we not? We're not living from cave to cave. But we may be in dire situations. And yet we can boast in the Lord tonight because the gospel gives us reason to boast. The Bible doesn't promise believers a problem-free life. David is going to say, many are the afflictions of the righteous. You don't see many Christian bumper stickers with that on their car, do you? But it's true. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But in the midst of the afflictions, we can boast in our God all the day long. Again, Charles Spurgeon says, have we not cause to boast in the Lord? Let us not rob him of his glory. After Paul lays out to the Corinthians the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, so that it is according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. You may be in difficult circumstances tonight. And God forbid that those should be made light of. And yet in the midst of it, we can boast in the Lord. We can rejoice in the Lord tonight. You see, when we understand the gospel, we have reason to boast. Because we know that the best is yet to come. We know that. There's sorrow, there's tears, there's loneliness, there's emptiness, there's pain, there's grief. I don't need to preach to you. You know what I'm talking about. And yet we can boast in the Lord. We can look back and even see in the midst of all of the sorrows and disappointments, God's mighty hand. How many times has he delivered us? Even when we've done stupid things like David, foolish things like David. It's interesting, whenever you see the psalmist begin to get his eyes off of his circumstances and on the Lord, it's kind of like that snowball. It just seems to get larger and larger. First he says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And then he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's almost like David says, come on now. Come on, Koinonia. Come on, you watching online. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I love that. I just love David. He is a man after God's own heart. He just wants people to join. Come on. This is my testimony. This is my story. Magnify the Lord. The word magnify means to express his greatness and majesty. It is so good. It is so good to just be before the Lord and just magnify him and express his greatness, express his majesty. Psalm 69, a messianic psalm, says in verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. The Blessed Mary declared in Luke 1:46, my soul does magnify the Lord. And my spirit does rejoice in God, my Savior. Heaven is going to be a place of rejoicing and praise. You know that, right? Revelation 19:6, John says, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Is it just me? I can't wait to sing that. I mean, I say it now, but I can't wait to sing that. Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigns. David says, I sought the Lord. And that's why we've come here tonight. We've come to seek the Lord. Hopefully, that's why we've come, to seek the Lord. I've sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now, again, back in 1 Samuel chapter 21, when David heard what the servants of Achish or Abimelech said concerning him, it says in 1 Samuel 21 verse 13, listen carefully, he laid up the words that he heard in his heart and was greatly afraid. There is power in the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those that love it will hear, will eat the fruit thereof. And whenever you and I find ourselves laying up words of fear in our heart for whatever reason, it's only going to increase that fear. The devil feeds on fear like cancer feeds on sugar. But the Bible tells us God's perfect love casts out fear. Oh, we do not deny the reality of fear. It's there. It's a real emotion. Don't let anybody tell you that if you tell them, I'm afraid that you've lost your victory. They've lost their mind. It's a real emotion. But here's the thing. It's there, but we simply do not give into it. We do not allow it to influence our lives. How do we respond to fear? We cry out to the Lord. I think one of the most necessary disciplines in the life of a Christian is knowing how to turn from your fears to the Lord immediately. That doctor's report comes, that email comes, and you know what it's like. Something inside just stirs, the emotion just stirs. You can feel the heaviness, the weightiness. And if we're not careful, if we just keep on feeding that and feeding that and feeding that, that makes whatever the problem is bigger than our Savior. Oh, Lord, I'm looking to You. I'm seeking You. I'm crying out to You. You know what this is all about. And the Lord hears. Do you believe that? You still believe that the Lord delivers us from fears? He does. In fact, one of my favorite passages in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 16 says, Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, Malachi 3:16, and the Lord heard it. You see, there is a fear, as we're going to see tonight, that we all need. It's a fear of God. The fear of God will enable us to overcome those other fears. I sought the Lord. And He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened or beaming, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. And so in this psalm, David is going to tell us how his Lord, our Lord, his Savior, our Savior, saved him out of all of his fears, all of his troubles. The Lord, the Savior. I'm not talking about a brand of Christianity where Jesus is your supplement. He's your Savior. He's not a supplement. When I need You, Savior, Deliverer. David says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Again, I quoted it earlier, 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. And what's perfect love? Or not what? Who is perfect love? Jesus. Perfect love casts out fear. It may still be there, but the presence of Christ casts out that fear, doesn't it? You know, you've been there. You've been in your caves. You've been in your crisis. You've been on that hospital bed. You've been in those situations where the enemy comes in like a flood and you're crying out to the Lord, and his presence just overwhelms you with peace. David says the angel of the Lord camps around those that fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. You ever eaten at a really good restaurant? How many of you have eaten at a really good restaurant? Boy, you walk out of that restaurant and you become an evangelist for that restaurant, don't you? I mean, that's it. If you ever have had the lasagna at fill in the blanks, if you've ever had the chicken bourguignon at this place, oh, and I've seen people talk about restaurants and foods, and their eyes get like silver dollars. You know where this is going. When you taste and see personally that the Lord is good, you will become an evangelist for Jesus Christ. Because there ain't anything that tastes better than him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's an experience. We're not just talking about head knowledge. Taste and see the Lord is good. The goodness of God is a reality that can be seen, that can be tasted, that can be felt. And it can't be contained. The word blessed means to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy these days. I get it. Pastor, I just want to be happy. Okay? Happy. Happy. You want happiness as it is defined in culture? Or you want happiness as it's defined in the Word of God? You see, there's a big difference. The happiness as it is defined in culture depends upon the chances and changes of life. Stock market goes up, I'm happy. Stock market goes down, I'm not happy. Well, I mean, that has nothing to do with me. I'm just talking about for you that have stock things in the stock market, right? I'm healthy, I'm happy. Not healthy, I'm not happy. Every relationship good, happy. Relationship bad, not happy. You see, that's contingent upon things that are changeable. We have, in Christ, we've been given a happiness, a blessedness that is independent of those things. Happy are those people whose God is the Lord. There's a happiness that is stronger than the disappointments, the discouragements, the frustrations in life. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, happy is the man that trusts in him. That word trust here means assured reliance on the character, ability, and strength and promises of God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we continue this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward, moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.